Almighty. Good evening, everyone. John Henry Soto. Welcome to the Artist Blueprint. As always, I'm here with George Batista, and we have a wonderful, wonderful guest tonight. Oh my gosh, we are going to have such a ball here. Patricia, hopefully I'm pronouncing the name correctly, Montour. And then, of course, Leo Rossi is in the house, and we are going to have a I'm respectful, but we are going to have an amazing show tonight. So, George, you know how sometimes I talk a little bit too much.
Yes, you do.
So I'm going to actually shut my mouth. I'm going to turn it over to you so we can give some love to our sponsor, and then we can bring on Patricia and Leo and have an amazing conversation. Let's do it.
All right, let's go. So, as always, the Artist Blueprint Live is brought to you by Wellness Resources, a family-owned and operated nutritional supplement company providing the highest quality clinically formulated supplements since 1985. Find out why not only I love them, but they are the favorite supplements of many people around the world. Make sure you check them out at myvitaminresource.com. Now, of course, as our listeners and our viewers, if you enter the promo code Counterparts, you will get free shipping on your order. But don't forget, every month they have a monthly special. And this month's special is a super sale. That's right. It's 20 to 30% off all of their supplements. Okay. Again, it's a super sale, 20 to 30% off of all their supplements, okay? So remember, if you enter the promo code Counterparts at checkout, you will get free shipping. So on this promotion, you get anything over $49, you get free shipping. But since you know us, you will get free shipping if you enter Counterparts. So again, check out Wellness Resources at myvitaminresource.com. All right, John. Let's do it. We're going to bring on our guests, but first, let's talk a little bit about them. So first, it's the dynamic duo. We have Leo Rossi. He's a well-known as a larger-than-life sidekick who shared the stage with history's most iconic bands and artists, including The Who, Fleetwood Mac, having spent 20 years with the band, by the way, as their stage manager, production manager, and finally their tour manager. Also, Chaka Khan, Bette Midler, Billy Idol, The Beach Boys, and many, many more. Now, also, Patricia Montour Rossi is an experienced businesswoman, entrepreneur, and visionary whose expertise include creating and building small, cutting-edge companies. Together, they have created the Knights of Rock, a multifaceted enterprise consisting of Knights of Rock Music Entertainment, Knights of Rock Experiences and Lodging, and Knights of Rock CBD Products. And we are honored to have them on this program. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring on Leo and Patricia.
Yay.
All right. Welcome to the show. We are extremely happy that you're here with us and honored that you're here with us. There's so many, you know, I was reading the bio and I said to myself, I was like, I don't think, can we hear them?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. There you okay, are. Good. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. I was saying to myself after reading the bios, I was like, how can we do one show? Yeah, we would love that because this just seems to be a wealth of information and this wisdom that we'd love to hear about. So George is the official one. He has questions, and I'm sort of a free-flowing person. And so I'm going to turn it over to George so he can ask our first question, and we'll start the ball rolling there, and then we'll rock and roll.
Absolutely. So again, thank you guys for being on. Very, very excited. So I want to, you know, like I always like to do, kind of paint the picture here of, you know, get a little bit into your backgrounds and what you guys have done. And so, you know, maybe we'll start with Leo. If you could just tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got started in the industry, what you did, and, you know, all, you know, just some of the amazing things that you've done in the industry. And then we'll go to Patricia as well.
Wow. Well, let's see.
Where do you start?
You know, it's really amazing. Everything that's happened to me has been circumstance and destiny and fate. Doors that have opened. I grew up in San Pedro, California, which is the harbor of LA, strict Italian Catholic. And I didn't know what I was going to do in my life. I literally was going to be a longshoreman. And what ended up happening was I went to school looking for something, a direction, and I ended up running across a teacher, and the teacher was desperate to have one more kid sign up for a stage production class so he can go home for the day, and I did. And I ended up loving this class because it was just really is artistic. But we went to go see a field trip in Long Beach, California, and it was a play, a Broadway play. I hated the play, so I snuck backstage, and I watched the show from backstage, and I absolutely loved it. And I got in trouble. I got caught. So they punished me. But my drama teacher said to the technical director of the theater, he said, "Hey, why don't we, instead of punish this kid, he loves this stuff." So they gave me an apprenticeship to work. So for 3 years, I was doing opera, light opera. But the rock bands used to keep coming through Long Beach Arena and the auditorium. So I kept meeting all the rock band guys. So I kept seeing the same road guys go through, I learned how to fix everything at an early age.
Wow.
So at 18, I got a call with a lighting company to pick up a tour, and it was with The Who. So I did 4 weeks up and down California with The Who as the lowest, gruntiest, dirtiest little lighting guy. But I kept working my way up, and then doing bands. And in the fall of 1975, I was doing some pickup dates, and that's when I first ran into Fleetwood Mac. And then I did some Loggins and Messina dates, mm-hmm. and then ended up as Fleetwood Mac was the opener. And then I met the guys again, and they said, "Hey, we're doing this rehearsal. Can you do the rehearsal?" And I said, "Yeah." They said, "But we didn't have any money. I said, "It's okay. I'll do it. I like you guys." So I did the rehearsal for free, literally nothing. And then they said, "We're doing a tour in 76. Do you want to go on the road?" And I ended up being on the road, and from there I was doing everything, but these lighting to stage management, production management, and then over the 20 years I ended up as a tour manager. So but all through that I was touring with all these great bands. So you know what, and I just kept finding my way with it all. It was great, man.
Yeah, you know, it's funny sometimes, like, you don't realize that you're on. You know, I saw from the Eagles, what's Joe Walsh. Joe Walsh. He was talking about how life, you know, sometimes you're in it and it's like crazy and things are going nuts and you have no idea what's going on. But then you look back on it and it's this well-crafted novel that your life became, you know, because that is what a good novel is. It has its ups, its downs, its challenges, its, you know, conflicts and everything. And when you look back, it's like, well, I just went and I just lived, you know, it's just wonderful.
That's what we say. I mean, everything happened for a reason. The band just kicked up in the background, so if you can't hear us,
it's okay. We can hear.
We hear the bass. We hear the bass.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's what happened to me, and it just found its way with everything that I was doing, and I just took each advantage, and I worked my way through it to where finally, you know, like 2016, I gave it all up and I take all my energy and all my expertise and I did everything for charity.
Wow.
So, and that's amazing. Just it. You know, everything I do is for charity. And I ended up having 5 children and I lost my oldest son to cancer. Mm-hmm. And he was 27 and he was a soccer player and then a musician. And he went to Central America to play for the Peace Corps with his music. And then we learned that how poor children are around the world.
Right.
And
right.
Then I dedicated my life to his charity to help these children live in extreme poverty around the world.
Wow.
So that's what I do today.
Yeah, we both have lost children.
And then Patricia lost her son to cancer.
And so
same kind of cancer.
Because of that, we put a lot of our power and our passion, I guess, because of what the boys wanted to do in this world to make a difference. And so we're fulfilling their purpose in a small way, but we hope it'll make a big difference to some people around the world, you know, children, organizations, specifically, wherever the need is. And so that's what kind of drives us to do what we do. And we just, it just organically grows. And it's just, you know, we love what we do and we just put all our energy into it. And it's really taking off. We're really excited.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been wonderful.
I'm sure you're impacting many lives, and
yes,
that's amazing. Patricia, tell us a little bit about, you know, how about your background.
All right. Excuse me, I'm working on a cold. But so Leo and I met back in 1982.
Okay.
Or late 1981, 82. I met him. I was a flight attendant for United. And of course, he walks on the ship on the airplane at noon with a bunch of raging drunk road crew. He was their boss.
He was in charge.
Yes, you were. And he says, "Ma'am," he goes, "here, just buy them a drink. They'll fall asleep, and the rest is history." And they did. And then after that, we talked in the back of an airplane for most of the flight, and everybody else was asleep. And I just, was so endeared with this wonderful person. I'm like, "Are you for real?" I mean, he was such a good, I'm like, so we dated, and then we lost contact, and I married my my college sweetheart. He married his high school sweetheart, and we had our families separate, no contact for 42 years.
42 years. We drove apart. And then we reconnected in 2017.
Yeah, just by chance. Yeah. Just by chance. I always wondered, where is he? I hope he's okay. I hope he's doing well. Wow. And, life goes on. I had four children and three girls and a son who passed away with the same cancer. His dear son, Ryan, passed away with. And so that was really bizarre, because when we reconnected, he told me about his life and what's going on.
We were shocked. They're like, wow, our lives were so close.
Yeah. So having the same cancer was supposedly curable.
Right.
And our sons were very strong, very young, they were athletic, totally athletic. And it just so happened that we share that and we're able to pull our energy together because of the boys and what they've taught us in life.
Use our talents and our past to enhance the quality of life for people.
That's definitely we can definitely see that. And George and I are parents, we have children, so it's something that we feel we can't imagine.
Right.
We tell people don't even try to imagine it, because it's too hurtful. Yeah. It's something we would wish on our worst enemies when you lose a child, But one thing we try to convey out here together with people is you're going to be tossed some really weird stuff in your life, but you got to pick it up and you got to try to move forward in a positive way and use that negativity in a positive way to try to, make the world better. And then all of a sudden it's not a loss, it's a gain. And you're paying tribute to people that you do lose. Yeah. And again, I think our past, we're so blessed with wonderful past. Why not,
Yeah, and you find that there's so many other people that are in your shoes that would love to share those ideas and issues. I think with the music stuff, we're able to make that an easy
transition
so that people can relate there, but also relate to us as parents and understanding, all the ups and downs.
Yeah, because really, realistically, going back in time when I was touring with the bands and I was doing, I never thought that it would end up to be doing this. It just naturally transgressed that way with the master plan, And from there, we started figuring, okay, so we've gotten this far. Now what's next? And that's why we're thinking about wellness. And, I listened to all my buddies that I toured with, and it was like, we used to do hemp and pot and everything to not walk. Now we do it to walk.
Right.
That's kind of how the CBD, our products evolved, because we want to do something that's natural, something that's healthy, and something that we would have given our children, because we saw them struggle with all the medication that they were prescribed.
Sure.
It was just horrible. It just burnt holes in their tummies. It was just something so frustrating for us to see, because back in the day, 10 years ago, marijuana and CBD wasn't legal. It wasn't even on the radar.
Right.
And so now we just wish we would have had that access back then, because we would not have hesitated whatsoever.
Yeah, to keep them out of pain, them out of pain when they couldn't, because the hospitals were saying it's not acceptable, because by chance, if they were cured, that all the data is out the window. And we said, the heck with that. Now it's like, just use it. Use it for to keep them out of pain. We knew where they were headed.
Yeah.
So that's what we did,
Yeah.
THC, it helps with stimulating your appetite. And that's something that patients really struggle with, is eating to heal your body naturally.
Right.
If you're not eating and all you're ingesting is the medication, you know, it's not going to allow your natural body to heal.
Yeah. And, you know, George is, like I said before, he's, you know, he's a wellness coach, and he's been able to, he does his own actual show, you know, Wellness Talk as well. And I don't know a lot about the, you know, the different forms and everything, especially the last, probably the last 5 years, I think it's really become more mainstream. It's done well.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, George, do you have a question? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to, before I get into that piece, I wanted to kind of go back to their life for a second, because when you really look at how amazing, how meant to be, really not only them coming back together, but what they're doing and what their children have contributed in this world, right? If you think about it, if I remember correctly, Leo, I think you told the story that you saw her at an ATM.
Yeah.
And that's how you guys reconnected, of all the places that you could have been.
And the weird part was that, it was at a hotel I wasn't supposed to be at, because my normal hotel in Denver was sold out.
Right.
And then I went to the bar for a meeting, and the table that we were supposed to be sitting at was given away. So they moved us into the patio. And then I had my back against the street. And as a tour manager, you never do that. You put your back and watch the front.
Right.
So by habit, I moved the other side of the table. And when I looked up, I saw at the ATM, and there she was. Wow. And I wasn't sure. So I went, okay, I think that's got to be her. And I Googled, and LinkedIn came up, and it said, Patricia Montour, real estate in Denver. And I emailed her and said, hey, I think I saw you. And then she went, oh my God, where have you been? I've been looking. I never do social media as a tour manager. You don't.
Right.
Sure.
And the timing was just perfect. I think we were both at a stage where we were ready for whatever we create at this point. Because, I mean, sometimes it takes a long time to learn your lessons or to go through life. And then now we just appreciate what we have, and it's just beautiful. It really works well for us.
Yeah, it's great.
And the great thing is our children, our beautiful children, all they're happy for us. And they see that, you know, anything can happen, even this late in life. So,
we talk about that as well. You know, I think I've had more new careers than anyone I know, because I think that I don't even look at it that way. I look at it like I'm living a life, my life, and you go from day to day. And so you wake up one day and you're like, oh, you know, I want to try something. I want to try this. And it's a beautiful thing that you can actually go and try that. You know, that's a blessing for us. So I think that, you know, the reuniting again and the purpose and what you're both putting together right now is so... it's so perfect. It's the only word I can think of.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful
thing. We're blessed.
Very blessed.
We're blessed.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about the charity work? Because I know you mentioned a little bit about...
Yeah. My son's charity is called 20K Watts. And he started off by replacing kerosene lamps with solar lamps.
Oh.
A $5 solar light bulb literally changes a child's world. And the money they didn't have to spend on kerosene, and they got fresh air. They can use that money for food, for bus fare, for clothes to go to school. And then it went to water filters because he saw families boiling water in their living room, and then started helping orphanages become self-sustained, so they didn't have to.
In
El Central America, mainly El Salvador, where they didn't have to depend on donations. You know, we don't talk about it. We don't have a lot of websites, or we don't do social media, because Ryan's vision was be judged by your actions. And he always used to say to me, we're going to be successful when we can say no to Oprah. And that's what he wanted it to be. He wanted to be organic. So we carry it on. We've built food sheds, water wells. Right now, we've been shipping hand crank flashlights to Afghanistan, to Turkey, to Syria, to the Ukraine, for children that are stuck in bomb shelters or they have nowhere to go. And these little $2 flashlights, they sit in a circle and they crank and they pray and they sing, and it's a meditation, and they crank it for 5 minutes and it stays lit for 10 hours. So you can change a child's world. So that's what our, you know, that's what our mission has been lately, is light. And then, you know, sometimes Music Cares, some of our Fallen Road guys that needed help that didn't get royalty rates and stuff. So, but anybody who really calls and says they need us, we look at the criteria of it, and we just try to help. We just use our blessings to do whatever we can to enhance the quality of life for these people that really need it.
Yeah. But we also want to put the message out that anybody can do just one little part, one little step forward to make somebody's life better.
Tell me about the lunch program thing.
Well, you know, I think there was a post one time my daughter posted on Instagram or Facebook, and it said something like, you know, instead of going to Starbucks and spending $10 on a coffee and a cookie or whatever, which Starbucks is fine, but take that money and go to a school, go pay somebody's lunch for a week. How happy would that make somebody, you know, instead of having an expensive coffee? I mean, it's just,
She was telling me about it, and I was doing a show one day on a ship, and that just came out. And then cruises later, a gentleman came up to me and said, I took your word and I went by a school and I paid lunch fees for all the children for a year.
Wow.
And that's just what happened.
It's just the little things, whether it's donating blood, doing the lunch program.
One small action can change a ton of time. What I take it back to is when I remember me and a lot of the guys used to have like small pianos in the dressing rooms. And with Fleetwood Mac, used to hear Stevie plunk out chords. And then the next thing you know, it's Dreams or it's Gypsy or one of the big songs. You're saying that's where it started. So one small thing with them changes millions of lives. And anybody in this world, you know, book fees, fees, you know, go teach a child to read. Turn off your friggin' television. Go to a youth center and spread your experiences and teach children how to read and write and, you know, and then it's not only good for them, it's great for you.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the kind of thing that we portray in our message. And that was my son's message. And there was a little kid that was 14 years old. His name was Edwin in El Salvador. And my son was so taken back by he gave him his guitar and told Edwin, why don't you ever get tired and you're frustrated? Just play the guitar. Wow. And here we go. Fast forward. Edwin was 24 years old. He went to college. He became a leader in the community. And he went to the Japanese consulate and he traded coffee futures for money to buy a well and electricity for the whole community.
For the village.
Wow.
And he, on the groundbreaking, thanked my son and said, this guy gave me a guitar and gave me hope, and I'll never forget 20K watts. The littlest things, man.
It makes such a difference in people's lives. It's such a huge thing, you know.
And all our children help carry on their brother's message, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, so for me, it's like, okay, I got tired of making millions for millionaires.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the artists. The artists were great. It was the people around them. It was the business managers and the agents and the families that sucked them dry. And they just wanted to be creative. And then I'd be finding myself making money for bailing out somebody. You know, I'm like, no, man, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done. And I'm not saying, look, there are guys that can do that. They're younger. God bless them. Yeah. But, you know, it's just not for me. And luckily, when Patricia came in my life, we said, what's our mission here? You know, and we lost sons. And we said, you know what? We're not going to let their past go in vain.
Absolutely.
Their purpose.
Right. Well, I was just going to say the word purpose, actually, because last week we had a guest that was mainly talking about purpose. And she has a course where she helps people kind of find the purpose, you know, because I think we all sometimes we're told what the purpose is. And then you go after something that you've either seen or you think you should go there because society says you should. This is the way you should go. And it's really important to sit down and be able to look at your life and say, like, my purpose is to be an artist. My purpose is to help people, to change people's lives. You know, and that's what our purpose, George and I, is really just artists. And we realize that. And but to the same note, it's getting that information out there and getting that education out there to the youth and letting them know listen, college doesn't have to be for you. I mean, you can go to college if you want to go, but you may want to do something else. How about taking an entrepreneurial workshop and becoming a business owner?
Yeah. Class.
Yes.
God, trades, plumbers, auto mechanics, things that so you really want. You know, I mean, all our shows have a message of something at the end that I'll come up with. Like my Fleetwood Mac show is about dreaming. So don't stop. If you're done dreaming, help somebody else dream, because the dreamers are the ones that change the world.
Yes.
You know, and then my Beach Boys show, I talk about just losing my son, and I could not even get out of the house. I was so depressed, and I was asked to be the tour director, and I passed when I went and met when I first met the guys. Then a friend of mine got the tour.
Because you weren't ready.
I wasn't ready. And then I went to see him, and he says, you should do this. This is really be a good thing for you. I was driving home from that meeting, and something was telling me to do the tour. It could have been my son. It could have been divine intervention. I don't know, but I took the job. And now the Beach Boys 50th anniversary tour was a joke. It was like everybody was laughing at them. Here they are. They're doing a 50th anniversary tour, rehashing old shit. But all of a sudden, it became this magical, historical thing. And after the Beach Boys did it, everybody did it.
Yeah, I remember that.
To be part of that. But the only reason I did is because I took that step, man.
Yeah.
So when you're down and out, if you take that one step, man, look at, we changed the world, you
pretty
know?
Much saved your life.
A purpose, just like you said. It's all for a purpose, you know? So that's what our life is about, purpose. Guys, I'm so sorry about the noise. I had no idea that they were going to break into a.
That's no, we knew you were fine, actually. So
it's we have a little music in the background, so it's good.
Yeah, it's 3:30 here in Hawaii, and they break out in a jazz session.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's definitely. You know, one of the things I think about it, you know, when we talk about there's an old saying that says, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I've realized for myself, you know, when I had my daughter, talking about kids, my daughter is one of my biggest teachers. She has taught me so much about myself and about, you know, how to love someone and how the humanity and how to give and all this type of stuff. And, you know, just thinking about your kids and, you know, those who are here and those who are past, you know, the love that you have and what they teach you. And it's such an amazing thing. And really, for me, she has taught me how to be more compassionate in my life. And doing these things that, you know, John and I are doing and these types of things, a lot of that came from, you know, what I learned from my daughter. And I was like, my daughter also, who's in high school now, she's going to her last year of high school. She's done a lot of volunteer work in school. You know, she's doing the honor society. She's doing all these things. And I'm like, you know what? When I was in school, I didn't do this stuff. But yet she's doing it because she just wants to do it. And God bless. And I was like, you know what? Wow. You know, so, you know, it kind of kicked my mind into gear and say, what can I do now to give back? What can I do? And this is where John and I kind of got together, and I went on the wellness journey and these types of things, because at the end of the day, it's about giving back and helping people and that type of thing. So it's kind of like I feel you guys in that, you know, because it really is an amazing feeling when you can do that.
Yeah,
it is, isn't it? And you know, it's like I said, what it does, it brings us all together. And what do we do together? We connect other people.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So the different messages,
it
you know,
grows.
I think that's one of the reasons why classic rock was so great, because, you know, it touched us all personally.
Right.
Every song, everything had touched you personally. But you know what else it did? It connected us with millions of people that were like us and created these communities.
Yeah.
And this is what we're doing now, all of us, you know, and it's a wonderful ordeal to be such a big part of it.
I love it. And, you know, music has changed so drastically in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
George and I talk a little bit about this, about 70% of music that's being streamed right now is music that's 30 years or older.
I know.
So most of it. Meaning that the longevity of what happened from like 1954, you can start at Elvis, to about, I don't know, mid-80s or something, or even Nirvana, you know. But that block of time, it seems like it was perfect. And then something happened along the line. I don't know what's going on now in music, but it seems like the longevity and the shelf life, it's just not,
you know, it's just another version of music. Our parents hated the Beatles.
That's true.
True. People, they're very true. Yeah.
Again, and it's subjective. It really is. But, you know, I just saw today there's a tour next summer. It's going to be Def Leppard, Journey, Steve Miller, Heart, and Cheap Trick. The second generation of classic rock. And it's going to do really well, and it'll net more than any of those big tours like Taylor Swift, because I guarantee you their overhead's going to be next to nothing.
Yeah.
But you watch how that show sells. And it's going to be Genes, because when I was out at the Beach Boys, I saw four generations of children.
People,
families. I would see great-grandchildren, grandchildren, parents, and grandparents. Yeah. And I always say, it was funny because sometimes they sit together, but sometimes they'd be separate and you'd see it. The house lights would go out and the grandparents and the parents are sharing a joint trying to hide their bodies from their children. You know, but you watch the little ones. Look at the Beach Boys and playing Surfer Girl and Good Vibrations. Yeah. Their eyes this big.
Big.
Seeing it for the first time. And then you see the parents, you know.
Yeah. Remembering.
Bam.
Yeah.
It was so amazing.
It's just such a beautiful thing. Music. I mean, we can talk. Just that could be a whole, you know, a whole 2 hour of just conversation with music.
Let's do it again.
Definitely. So also, your congratulations, because you're both newlyweds, right?
We are. Right. 2 months. Yeah, like September 23rd.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's so great. That's such a blessing. Did you ever have a time when you thought maybe that you were not going, you know, that maybe you were going on a direction that you shouldn't have, you know, because we talk a lot about risk on the show, you know, and it's taking that first step that's the most terrifying of doing something that you've never done before. Was there ever a moment where you kind of was thinking, I'm not going to take this, or did someone discourage you? How was the environment that you were, for both of you, like, your living person. In?
She was a flight attendant for 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, major airline, which was great at the time. Back in the day, it was different. Flight travel was way different.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of anything right now, because everything that you go through is a lesson, whether it's good or bad.
True.
So whether you learn your lessons, you'll keep repeating it until you've learned.
Right.
And so,
no real
regrets.
Yeah. For me, never, not a nanosecond ever. I've never done any money. I've never done anything. I've left tours because, I didn't start tours because it didn't feel good, because my gut was wrong. Never once. I always made it an effort to be out of my comfort zone. You know, I think the time that I was ever really sort of angry or down on something in my life, honestly, and this is where Patricia sort of brought me right back in, I was down on cancer research. And I would tell people, don't put money into cancer research. Don't do this. It's bullshit, blah, 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 blah. But then she said, you know, it's not about the research. It's about the people that don't have a car to get get to the chemotherapy sessions. It's about the people that buy food because the mother worked all day. She went to therapy, but she couldn't kick.
Or she
needs
rent money.
And
because
that really,
she's taking care of her child in the hospital.
Or they flew him to the Ronald McDonald House and put him up. So that really got me. That was one time where I thought that I was the most negative in my life was on cancer research, until she opened my eyes and I realized that it's more than just the research. It's the whole community of what cancer really
does. It's helping the family, because it's the family as well that is affected by it.
Yes.
You know?
So that was something that really opened my eyes, and I caught myself, you know, so I think the reason I stopped touring was I was on a Billy Idol tour. It was like 2016 or something, 18. Anyways, I started profiling because we were near the Bataclan killings in France.
Oh, yeah.
And every Muslim kid that walked into the room with a backpack and a sweatshirt, I wanted searched. And I found myself becoming this person I just did not like. And the security, if we search them, we have to search everybody.
Yeah.
And I finally said, man, I can't do this. I'm done. I'm done. And I left the road. There was other reasons, but, you know, I let the outside evil force get to me, and I caught myself. And that's when I really made an effort to, like,
definitely
okay,
not who you are.
No, it wasn't. And that's when we started Knights of Rock. Now, Knights of Rock, the music show, is not just me. There's a group of us that have all retired. We go on stage together. We tell our story together. We do Zoom calls. So that's Knights of Rock is a big, it's a big conglomerate of guys that, you know, people and women that were lucky enough to live the life that I lived. And when you get us all together and maybe one day we'll do a podcast together, it's amazing because we all like bang on each other, but we push each other and we talk to each other. But it's the really the true story of classic rock. That's why Knights of Rock was invented, because we said if we don't tell the true story of what classic rock is, nobody's going to tell it.
Oh my god,
that's true. Because, you know, you think about a lot of people thinking about, okay, musicians on the road in the 70s. I mean, half of them probably, do they even remember any of it? You know what I'm saying? Because you have that vision of these musicians and all the stuff that they went through. And John and I, know, we've done a lot in music and stuff like that. I mean, not as much as you have, obviously, but a lot. But I always had that thing of like, okay, so if we're go on these long tours, I mean, can we survive it? Can we, you know, there could be temptation. What's going to happen? You know, I always had these things, even though in the back of my mind, I was like, but we got to do it. We got to do it, you know?
Yeah.
But that was my hesitation as a musician. Like, you know, the touring piece was always the part that got me the most nervous. But I mean, it seems like for you, you know, you just ran with it.
We all did.
Yeah.
You know, we have this saying, they always say, you know, behind every great band is a crew, a good crew.
Yeah.
We think behind every great crew is a great band.
Ah, yeah. Nice.
We were there first, and we got there. We set everything up for them. If you don't have a good sound man, it doesn't matter how good of a band you are.
Right.
If you
exactly.
Light man, they can't see you. It doesn't matter how good you are. So, but we were. There was no separation between band and crew back then. We were all one.
Yeah.
We were a family. We did it for the right reasons, and the stories that we tell are about those reasons and why we did it, you know, to make a difference.
Yes.
Not about money, it was to make a difference,
develop,
you know? So that's why we started Knights of Rock, and this is what we do with it.
And Knights of Rock, it's such an important thing to remember the legacies, that the history of that time period, because it's not going to happen again.
No.
You know, it's not going to happen again. I mean, I hate to say that, but I just know that what happened during those years, it's just not going to happen again. And classic rock was so free. It was not corporate. It wasn't in a studio with everything sounding perfect and everything auto-tuned. I mean, how many times have we heard Led Zeppelin records where there's, you know, it's not...
You can hear the little mistakes. You can hear the...
in there, and it's gorgeous. I love it. I love it, you know, and that era, that time, you know, to be able to capture that again with Knights of Rock, I think that's so important for the next generation to kind of get it. Is it a podcast by any chance? Are you considering doing that?
No, you should.
You
know what, man?
I wrote a book.
Yeah.
And the book's doing really well. And believe it or not,
just today.
So my son's angel day was yesterday, December 11th. His day he passed, and I actually finished and submitted the audiobook on his angel day.
Oh wow!
So the audiobook.
Wow.
Incredible.
Wow. Did we lose him? We lost signal.
Uh-oh.
Oh no! This
Are
is
they
going
frozen? They frozen? Oh, there they go! There they go!
There we go!
Back.
Oh, there you go! Okay.
We lost a member of our Beach Boy family yesterday, one of the musical directors, Jeff Foskett, who was an amazing, amazing singer, an amazing person. He was diagnosed with anaplastic thyroid cancer like 6 years ago, and they gave him like 3 months to live, and he made it. He made this for God bless, but, you know, God bless my friend Jeff. But, you know, again, for all of us, it's life's precious, man. So we just want to tell the truth. Look, if it happened to us, it could happen to you. So just don't let any stone be unturned. and go out and make a difference, because that little kid that you're helping, he can be president. Believe it.
Yeah. He could be a doctor.
He could be a doctor, a lawyer. He could be the next rock star, you know? Yes. And he'll remember you. That I remember that guy that gave me a ride to school and paid for my lunch.
I did a few years ago, I did a workshop, a film workshop for two classes. And there were like 9-year-olds to 11-year-olds. And they were so excited. And you could see which ones wanted to be in front of the cameras, which ones wanted to be the behind the cameras, who wanted to do the sound, who was going to edit, who was going to direct. There was this young little girl. She was like, I'm directing, you know, and I was like, all right, you're the director.
Beautiful.
You know? And it was such a joy that when we finished, I remember the parents messaging me, because we shot an actual film and we put it, I edited it together and everything. And the parents were just so thrilled. And I live with that same thing that you just said. You know, those kids now have that experience, and who knows what they're gonna do? Yeah. You know, they'll remember the little bit.
One of them's gonna win Academy Award one day, and they're gonna thank you, Johnny.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's what happens.
They'll remember the little Puerto Rican from the Bronx. You know,
that's it, man. Hey, thank you.
It's so great. I love it. I love it. And the work that you're doing, you know, you also opened my eyes to something too, because with the cancer research, because I lost my mom in 2009 actually, and she was fairly young. She was 63. Yeah, and she had pancreatic cancer, and it was so sudden, where you're just, you know, it was like literally she went into the hospital and 10 days later she's gone. So I was so upset with cancer research. And I, you know, when you said that right now, I was sort of like, yeah, you know, like,
you get it.
But then when you just explained the other stories, the bigger picture, you know, now I just realized, you know, what Patricia pointed out, that's really those are the people that we need to really support.
Yes.
Because they're the ones that not only are they there, but they're also, some of them are going to be there afterwards. You know, and they need support too after someone passes. You know, it's tough.
And you know what, John and George, we're all blessed to have the platform to do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's do it.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Inspire others to do the same in their own way.
That is the message. I mean, with the artist blueprint is what we, you know, what we want to do is inspire artists to go out and do this.
Yeah.
Start a podcast, you know, start bringing in people that you know, and start developing whatever you've learned in the industry that's propelled you forward. Give that to somebody, because it's important for us to continue going, because artists are the saviors of the planet, in my opinion. In our opinion, the artist is the most important beings on the planet. They change society, they change views, they change directions. If an artist comes out and wears his hat like this, I guarantee you that there are going to be thousands of kids wearing their hats like that, you know, with the influence. So it's really important to support artists.
Amen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You know, if you guys ever need us, if you ever need us for a message or anything, look, if it's me, if it's the rest of the guys, whatever you guys want, we're here to help you, man, because that's what we're about.
Appreciate you very much. And we're also here if you need anything. I'm in Nashville. If you ever swing by Nashville and need anything, or if you need anything, just let us know. You know,
it'd be great to get you guys on a cruise one day out of LA or somewhere, and then we can do podcasts from the ship and bring all kinds of people on. And
that would be fun, have
a Johnny and George podcast on a ship.
that'd be awesome.
Blueprint goes on tour.
Yes, absolutely.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
So we're almost at the top of the hour. The time flies, and I knew this was going to happen because I still have things I want to talk about. But we'd love for both of you to come back anytime. And like we said, if you need anything, we are truly blessed to have you spend this time with us. So thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you very, very much.
Well, we appreciate being on, and I'm so sorry about the noise. I didn't even see it on the schedule, but I think it's cool that they struck up the band for all of us, because there's nothing wrong with a little bit of music in our band.
That's what we're about.
Now this episode has a soundtrack.
Not a bad band either. We got that band. Yeah. They're going like, wow.
Cool. Yeah, it's the soundtrack of our episode. I love it.
That's it. Awesome. Good one.
Patricia, Leo, thank you so much for being on. God bless both of you and the work that you do. We're going to follow you. We're going to share all the content. If you need anything from us, we're here for you. So thank you so much. God bless you both.
Hey, offline, let's talk because we'd love to be one of your sponsors, man.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Absolutely. We'll talk about that.
So we're going to have that conversation.
The CBD line, let's get it together. We'll be a sponsor for you guys. No problem.
Just a shout out to all our children and all our supporters and friends out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that tuned in today. I love you all.
Give us the strength and power to keep doing what we're doing. We all love you and thank you for all the support and love.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you so much. So we'll definitely be chatting for sure. Thank you, Patricia. Thank you, Leo.
Thank you.
Long live rock.
Amazing, huh? What an incredible story. What an incredible incredible lives. What, you know, the serendipity in it, just amazing. And just now what they're doing is just, it's so inspiring. It really is.
Also being able to get yourself, because of something, you know, it's traumatic, but get yourself together to know that it's for others.
Yes.
And to live your life for others.
Yes.
You know, that to me is so important and so part of what we're talking about here. It's a beautiful thing. I love it. Wow. I mean, like I said before, I think it's, you know, 45 minutes is just not enough. We might have to
definitely do it again.
Just come back. Just keep bothering them. Can you come back? Can you come back? Like, tell John and George we're not in.
I'm not here.
They
I'm
keep calling here. Us. Oh, gosh. All right. Love them. Love them. Awesome. Yes. George, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
We'll be back next week. 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Artist Blueprint. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank our sponsor. Thank Patricia and Leo. We'll see you all. Take care of yourselves. God bless. And as always, peace.
Peace.